Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming. My name is Pastor Rebecca Craig. As Pastor Mary Ann introduced, I am from Emmanuel in Palm City, but I'm very glad to be here with all of you this morning, and I get to see you again in October. Well, you're going to get to know a little bit about me this morning through the sermon, because I'm going to let you know that as a kid, my favorite thing in the whole world was swimming. So I loved to go swimming. When my parents would promise that we were going to go to the pool, because I lived in Nebraska, we didn't really have the ocean like that. So when we were going to go to the pool, my response was normally to run around, get ready. And, you know, so when they got home from work, they wouldn't have anything to do. And we could just get in the car and we could go. And so my swimsuit was on, my pool accessories were packed, I'd even cleaned the kitchen, which my mother would be just, done some chores around the house so that, you know, when my parents got home, they'd have less work so we could just leave sooner and get out of the house and go swimming. Now, you understand why I wanted to move to Florida. So it makes me wonder, though, if I'm so ready, and I'm so eager, and running around, getting things ready, just so that I can go swimming, why don't I spend that kind of time running around, getting things ready for God's coming kingdom? I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right? God made us a promise that it is His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And what a promise that God, all He wants to do is He wants to give us His kingdom. And yet we spend probably so little of our time preparing for that coming kingdom and preparing for Christ's return. And then I realized, well, maybe part of the problem is, do we know how to prepare? I mean, if we're honest, are we really even looking all that forward to God's coming kingdom? I mean, maybe you've had this conversation before where you've jokingly said something like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe Jesus is coming back. And the other person goes, oh, I hope not. I got a thing on Thursday. You get all concerned. And maybe it's a joke, but it reveals a lot, I think, doesn't it? When we say something like that, it's revealing kind of an innate, if not subconscious, desire to cling to this world so much that we aren't ready and don't even maybe quite want God's kingdom to come until I feel ready. Until, you know, it's on my terms and I'm feeling all prepared and everything. And maybe, just maybe, part of what drives such a response from us is going to be a little of a tough question. Do we believe that God's kingdom is actually going to come? I mean, let's think about this. Can we fathom what that is going to look like? Because when we look around at the world around us, it sometimes seems like God's kingdom on earth is an impossible, impossible feat to accomplish. Can it really exist in a world that is still so overrun with so much violence, so much evil, so much greed, so much self-centeredness, in a world where Christians don't even act very Christian-like towards one another, much less someone else, much of the time? In a world where everyone and everything is a commodity that is up for exchange, where public discourse has turned into abusive name-calling and violent rhetoric. It is so hard for us to imagine what God's kingdom is going to even look like that we almost fear it breaking into our world, changing what we already know and what we do, because it is the unknown. I mean, we know that God's kingdom has come already in the person of Jesus Christ. But to have it come in its fullness, where wolves lie down with sheep, where swords are turned into plows, where nations stream to the city of God for healing. Now, I want you to imagine that for a moment. Think of the Middle East. Think of Jerusalem. And imagine the irony of the Middle East being where all nations will stream for healing. Seems like a ridiculous thing to picture. It's hard to see that happening in our world. It's hard to imagine what our lives would look like in God's kingdom if it came suddenly and in all its fullness. What would our lives be? What would they look like? The whole thing at times seems a lot more like just a sci-fi or fantasy scene from a movie rather than a real and tangible promise. And it's one that can be very hard to have faith in when all we see are the horrible, terrible things that happen throughout the world. I mean, we've got a 24-hour global news network that brings into our living rooms what happens around the world that we seem almost further every day from God's vision. So what are we to do? Well, for some, their response is to just sit back and enjoy the show. Let the world blow itself up because, well, that's all part of God's grand plan anyway. And yet, to sit back, just watch, isn't what Jesus is calling us to do. Jesus is instead calling us to action. Jesus is calling us to participate in building that kingdom, to participate in what God is doing in our world, to be part of what he is doing to change our world, to bring it closer to what his vision and desire is for us. So maybe it's not quite so difficult for us to imagine, to be ready for what it is he has in mind. Now, can we usher it in on our own? Of course not. It will take God's action to change hearts, to change attitudes, to change people. But we are still called to be a part of what he is doing, of what he is changing. We have a role. It's why we have been here for 2,000 years preparing the way. But the key is faith. Having faith that God is working in our world, that God is actually doing something, that he is somehow using us to bring his kingdom closer. As Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But faith can be hard when you don't see it, when you don't immediately see all of the changes or all of the things going on that we expect should be happening. And a lot of time our faith gets turned into kind of a strange pessimism, where we understand God's action as only the death and the destruction around us, because those are the things we tend to see. When we see war, when we see famine, when we see pestilence, we go, yep, there's God doing his thing, smiting. I understand that feeling. Well, give you a quick little story about me. I was not always a pastor. Very much like Pastor Mary Ann, I had a previous life, a successful career in the business world. Prior to going to seminary, I worked in marketing and advertising. And I had been living in California, but then I moved back to Nebraska, but I telecommuted to California. So I was one of those work from home people, flew out to Pasadena 4 times a year. And on one of those trips back, it was not long after 9/11. In fact, I think it was the trip I made about a few days after they reopened all of the airports. I remember sitting down on the hotel bed where I had grabbed my Bible, and I was going to sit down and do some reading, and decided I'd flip on the news. Well, I don't know how many of you ever watched Los Angeles News. I called it, the first 10 minutes, I referred to as the death report, where I sat there at that moment. I watched this death report, and I had my Bible in front of me. I was just sitting there getting ready for this big meeting I had the next day, and I just kind of went, what on earth am I doing? I said, this world is going to hell in a handbasket, and here I sit in a hotel trying to figure out how I'm going to help a very rich CEO become an even richer CEO. So I thought, well, maybe I need to get my priorities in order. And that started a process, reevaluating what was important in my life, what I needed to be putting first. 3 years later, I was selling my home, quitting my job, and going to seminary. I tend to call that my moment of temporary insanity. But really, how many of you right now have looked at world events and said, yep, we must be living in the end times. Our world's out of control. Well, you know, that may be true. As I always tell people, we are one day closer than we were yesterday. And while that moment may have been my moment, while that may have been my kind of come to Jesus, have an epiphany moment, while I was grieving the death of friends, grieving the deaths of so many others, recognizing the world was not as safe of a place as I had always thought it would be, it awakened me within a realization that really anything can happen at any moment. Now, I also wound up being able to put things back into perspective a little bit, that the world certainly has seen far more violent and difficult times than what we're going through now. We are just happen to be the ones going through them, so of course they're bad from our perspective, because we have those 24-hour news networks to tell us about all those things going on immediately. So like all the saints before us, we think Christ's return is imminent. Well, Paul thought Christ's return was going to happen in his lifetime. And do you know what he did? He lived his life accordingly. He lived in the midst of the promise, in the midst of an oppressive empire that wound up killing him, living in the promise just like all the people of faith that had come before him, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. We too live in a time of promise. We live in the midst of what we call partial fulfillment. Christ has come and he brought with him that glimpse of God's kingdom, of what it will be like. But there's still more to the promise that we are waiting upon. That kingdom that Christ is ushering in, we live awaiting its complete and total fulfillment, having faith that it will one day be realized. So it is something that we both desire and yet we fear, because we don't know what it entails. Maybe we live to see it, maybe we don't. Either way, like Abraham, Moses, David, and the prophets, we continue to live on as a people of faith, waiting, but not just sitting around doing nothing. All of those who have come before us had tasks, building towards something, toward a future that they had faith God was going to bring about. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next millennium. We don't know, and it doesn't matter. God's purpose was to use their work. God's purpose is to use our work to build toward his kingdom. So we too are tasked with that, participating in building up God's kingdom on earth, whether Jesus comes right now or whether he comes thousands of years from now. There was a bumper sticker I had at the beginning that I always liked, found funny. It says, Jesus is coming, look busy. Not usually one who's into what I call bumper sticker faith, but this one has a point. Jesus doesn't want to find us sitting on our hands, leaving and having done nothing to further his kingdom in our world. He expects to find us doing his work in the world at any given time. He says, no, our works are not what saves us. Our salvation comes through grace, through faith. But the work we do is what God is calling us to do as a people who have been saved. To usher in that kingdom that he has promised us, that vision he has given us. Like that little girl I used to be, who so anticipated my parents coming home so that we could go swimming. So too do we anticipate and prepare for Christ's return so that we are ready whenever that time may be and say, bring on the kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Lord, we thank you for the promise that you have made to us about your coming kingdom. Help us to continue to be your workers in the world, to be participants in building up your kingdom. So when you come, we are ready and we await with great anticipation that coming day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please rise for our song, Praises.